It is the Anton Savage Show, 9 to 11 on Saturday, 10 to 12 on Sunday. And between now and 11 o'clock, we're going to be talking about assisted dying, because you may not have seen during the week, a Dáil committee recommended that Ireland would legislate to allow that to be possible here. We'll be speaking to the daughter of Esther Ranson, who herself has talked about the challenges she faces with trying to access assisted dying, with given she has stage 4 lung cancer. We're going to be talking to Karen Koster, she of Ireland AM and Expose and the 7 o'clock show. She'll be dropping in a little bit later on. Cathy Sweeney, the author, will be talking about her latest book, and we'll be looking at all of the stories making the news this Patrick's weekend. I don't know what your experience has been thus far, but you know, the given that Cillian Murphy is somewhat de rigueur at the moment, you remember he did, wasn't it 28 Days Later was the apocalyptic movie that he did? That scene where he walks out to realise everybody is gone and it's just him. That's what the city is like this morning. There wasn't a living soul moving around Dublin. I had assumed people would still be going to work. If they are, they're doing it surreptitiously, because it does look like a post-apocalyptic, a very clean post-apocalyptic move. Everything is neat, but there is nobody there. 53106 if you want to get in touch, or you can get us on WhatsApp 087 1400 106. Despite the fact that everybody appears to still be in the scratcher, it is a busy weekend for transport, and particularly a busy weekend for Dublin Airport. Huge numbers moving through on Patrick's Day. With us is Graham McQueen, Media Relations Manager for the DAA. Morning, Graham.
Good morning, Anton.
Busy one for you today?
Yeah, it's a far cry from the scene. The picture you paint here at Dublin City Centre. We've had 7 or 8 flights in from America already this morning, full of marching bands and tourists coming in for the Paddy's Day parade. And that's been the scene pretty much since the middle of the week. Really, really busy. Lots of rugby fans coming in as well. A good few kilts coming through the arrivals door. So yeah, it's very, very busy, but all moving very well at the airport so far.
Give us sort of headline numbers in across the days. And which is, I assume today is the busiest, and then what, Tuesday? Is that how it'll work?
Yesterday was the busiest day of the weekend, with 105,000 through yesterday. Today's busy again, though, 95,000 through today, 100,000 through tomorrow. And then we start to see the return really on Monday, Tuesday. So departures will be very busy on those days, up again around 100,000 each day going through. So, you know, it's very busy, but I think it shows the interest in Ireland, the demand to come. You know, they want to come and have Paddy's Day here. Speaking to people through the week, this is the third or fourth year in a row that they've been coming to Dublin. They just love coming. They want to come back every year, and that's our job, I guess, is to facilitate all that demand.
Well, it's interesting, because the thing we're going to obviously be talking about later on, the economics of Patrick's Day and the value of it, the kind of bounce that you're seeing in travel, these are people who otherwise wouldn't come. Is that what you think?
Yeah, I think it gives people a reason to come. I think the people we spoke to through the week came, you know, in years gone by, and they just loved it. They loved the welcome. They loved the atmosphere, and they want to come back. So, as you say, they tend to spend quite a bit of money when they're here as well, which is fantastic. And Paddy's Day really kicks off the start of the really busy period for us. We then move quickly into Easter, and then May, June, July, you start to see the summer holiday season kicking in. So I think what we want to do in Ireland in terms of tourism is give people reasons to come. And there's certainly no better one than Paddy's weekend.
From your perspective, would it be a lot easier if the Six Nations, Patrick's Day and Cheltenham were spaced out over a 3-week period rather than all arriving together?
It would certainly be easier for my social media team. I know that, because we're trying to cover a lot this week. I suppose we're lucky in a sense that the Scotland fans coming, there'll be about 5,000 coming through over the course of the last few days and today for the match. If it had been an England or a France, they travel in much bigger numbers. That might have been trickier. But no, look, that's what we're set up to do in the airport. We're there to cater for the demand that people have to fly. You know, you add into the mix this weekend as well, we'll also have thousands of people heading over for weddings and, you know, football matches in the UK and further afield. So, you know, people travel for all kinds of reasons. And, you know, whatever week it is in the year, we see that happening at Dublin Airport.
Before I let you go, Graham, you mentioned the Six Nations, obviously Ireland, Scotland later on today. Keeping in mind on which side your bread is buttered, who will you be cheering for?
I'm not a huge rugby man, Anton, so I'm going to sit on the fence on that one. All I'll say is my team, Bohemians, got a great win in the League of Ireland last night, so I'm a happy man this morning. So you can may the best team win today, is all I'll say.
Oh, such diplomacy, Graham. Thank you so much. Graham McQueen, Media Relations Manager for the DAA. 53106 at Augusta 30 Centre, 087 1400 106 on WhatsApp if you want to get in touch. One of the things we're going to be discussing in a couple of minutes with Kieran Cunningham and Barbara Scully is the meetings, plural, because they are ongoing and repeated, between Leo Varadkar and the US president. Of course, the big question was, whether or not Leo Varadkar was going to raise issues of the ceasefire or the Irish desire for a ceasefire in Gaza, whether he was going to raise that with the president. He did and seems to have been pushing, pushing an open door. He arrived to a door that was already opened and there was pretty much very little fanfare around it. But there is, of course, the Shamrock passing over ceremony yet to happen, and there will be pressure on the Taoiseach to again hammer the point. Our own Shane Beattie has been in Washington for the past couple of days, and he sent us a report on Leo Varadkar in the Oval Office.
Friday was the main event in the Taoiseach's week-long US St. Patrick's trip itinerary. After spending 3 days in Boston and then flying to Washington meeting Irish-American business and community leaders, Leo Varadkar got the chance to put his rare access to the White House to the test. Yesterday began with an early start. As is tradition, the day began with breakfast at the US Vice President's official residence. That's on the grounds of the US Naval Observatory. Kamala Harris welcomed the Taoiseach and his partner Matthew Barrett, and it was quite clear from the outset that both she and her husband are big fans of Leo and Matt.
So Doug and I are very honoured to once again host the Taoiseach and Mr. Barrett back at the Vice President's residence. I don't think that we told you both, but Doug and I decided after our last visit here that you would be our new couple's friend.
Leo Varadkar used his speech over breakfast to say he understood a bit about being a vice president because of the rotating Taoiseach arrangement in Ireland, going from Taoiseach to Taoiseach and then back to Taoiseach. He said he knew which job he preferred to. He also told Kamala Harris he respected her, publicly calling for a ceasefire in Gaza in recent weeks, saying it can't have been easy, which may have been a slight dig at Joe Biden's reluctance to do the same. Speaking of Joe Biden, the Taoiseach was shortly thereafter whisked from the Naval Observatory to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue for his meeting at the White House with the US President. As the two leaders posed for pictures ahead of their bilateral talks, Leo Varadkar said he had four main things to discuss: Gaza, economic support for Ukraine, the return of the power-sharing institutions in Northern Ireland, and economic ties between the US and Ireland during the meeting. On Gaza, Leo Varadkar said he wanted a ceasefire as soon as possible, to which Joe Biden said, "I agree." Leo Varadkar then said, "We need to talk about how we can make that happen and move towards a two-state solution, which I think is the only way we'll have lasting peace and security." Again, Joe Biden said, "I agree." After we and the media were escorted out of the Oval Office, the two men sat down for around 45 minutes to talk. Leo Varadkar came out of that meeting telling us a ceasefire in Gaza couldn't come soon enough.
"When I say ceasefire, I mean yesterday. The ceasefire is well overdue. The level of suffering, the number of lives that have been lost, it's just too much. But a ceasefire has to be on both sides. It has to be Hamas as well as Israel."
But he said Joe Biden told him in no uncertain terms that the United States will continue to support Israel.
"The president was very clear that the US would continue to support Israel and to assist Israel to defend itself. So I don't think that's going to change. I think none of us like to see American weapons being used in the way they are. The way they're being used at the moment is not self-defence."
After their talks, the show moved to Capitol Hill for the annual Speaker's St. Patrick's Lunch, hosted by Speaker Mike Johnson. Held in a room in the Capitol building, it was attended by everyone from Michelle O'Neill and Mary Lou MacDonald to Emma Little-Pengelly and Edwin Poots. Attendees were reminded that Leo Varadkar started out his political life as an intern on the corridors of the Capitol. Joe Biden, clearly still thrilled by his Irish links, used his speech at lunch to get as much in about Ireland as he could.
"Diplomat Shane Leslie once wrote, every St. Patrick's Day, every Irishman goes out to find another Irishman to make a speech to. So thank you for allowing me to find you. Mom, it's okay. Look, I'm glad I found all of you, because no matter how much we debate, no matter how much we disagree, we always have been able to come together as friends of Ireland. And, the friendship goes back centuries. But today is an important period, an important milestone. Nearly 100 years of diplomatic relations, Taoiseach, and every 100 years of Ireland and the United States. So, Mr. Speaker, thank you for hosting us today. It's a tradition I've always enjoyed. And Taoiseach, thank you for joining us again. And I also like to extend the 100,000 welcomes to all the leaders who are involved in the Ireland and Northern Ireland agreement that they've now put it together. And I just wonder whether my mother would have ever thought that would happen. But it's happened, and it's great. You know, it's great to come together once again. To all Irish Americans, Democrats and Republican members here, I'm glad to be united on this issue, and we begin the next century of a real partnership. It's been a partnership that's really increasing now. And finally, to all they wish they're Irish, I'm glad you're here too. My grandfather used to say that being Irish is enough. At any rate, I won't go into that. But I stand here as a proud descendant of the Finnegans and the Blewetts, the Finnegans from County Mayo, which I just was there not long ago, and the Finnegans from County Louth. And this pride is part of my soul, I'm sure, and all of you who are Irish and ancestors feel the same way. In fact, as many of you know, when I served in Capitol Hill, my colleagues used to kid me because I was always quoting Irish poets. They thought I quoted Irish poets, Rev, because I was Irish. I don't do it for that reason, because they're the best poets in the world. That's why I quote them. Steny, it's true.
Usually on the Taoiseach's trip to Washington, the day concludes with a return back to the White House for the traditional Bowl of Shamrock ceremony. However, perhaps given that St. Patrick's Day falls on a Sunday this year, or perhaps given that Joe Biden may want to tap in to that strong Irish-American vote in an election year, the White House has decided to hold the event tomorrow instead. So while people back home are attending parades and donning the green outfits, the great and the good in Washington will be watching Leo Varadkar hand Joe Biden a bowl of shamrock instead. Shane Beattie, Washington.
Thank you very much, Shane. That was Shane's report there from the Oval Office and beyond, Naval Observatory, Washington generally. Texas say, Anton, I'm a delivery man. I share your thoughts on Dublin City. It was ghostly. I'm glad I'm not alone in this. It was, you know, that kind of Christmas day round about 3 o'clock, not a single live human being about. I don't know why it was like that, because I can see no good reason why on the day before Patrick's Day there wouldn't be some functioning part of the city, but nope, not a thing happening. If you want to win some money, stay with us. So far in 2024 alone, nearly 30 people have won a pile of cash on the cash machine. Orla was the latest winner. She won big on Friday. She won a big pile of money. Number 30, because that order was 29, number 30 is going to win €120,000. So while you think about what you do with €120,000, you pay off the mortgage, go traveling, new car, take a year off work, I'll tell you what the number is. You know the deal. We give you the number, you take a note of it, you enter, and if we call you and you give us the right number when you're called, you win the cash. So the cash machine amount is €120,000 exactly. It is a round number and it's a big round number, €120,000. You can text the word play to 57557. That's 57557. It'll cost you €2.50 plus your standard message rate to play. You have to be over 18. You're playing across the Go Loud network of stations and full terms are on newstalk.com. So that number again, €120,000. Now, after the break, Barbara Scully and Kieran Cunningham from the Irish Daily Star are going to be looking at the stories making the news, including Joe Biden's reaction to Leo Varadkar's suggestion that they should be demanding a ceasefire in Israel, and the revelations in the front page of the Irish Independent that while we have a tent city of people seeking international protection in the middle of Dublin, there are hundreds of beds available but tied up in red tape in Rosslare.